For 2,000 years, the Garou Nation has dealt with the pain, the anger, the suffering of the loss of the White Howlers. The Black Spiral Dancers are a constant reminder of the White Howlers' failings and a promise of what will happen to the rest of the Garou Nation should they continue to fail. The history of the White Howlers has largely been lost and or embellished in the stories that have been passed on through the generations. The tribe has been painted naive fools or despicable traitors, depending on who you ask. The decisions the White Howlers made spawned an army to serve the minions of the Worm or serve the enemies of the Garou. Unlike the Croatan, whose sacrifice was actually for a greater good, or the Bunyip, whose sacrifice was not of their own decision. This choice was the single most dishonorable, unwise, inglorious decision that any tribe of the Garou Nation could have ever made. Or was it? No tribe of the Garou Nation exists on their own. All of their stories are interconnected, interwoven. And in order to do the White Howlers justice, we're going to go on a journey. This is going to be part of a series about the White Howlers, so buckle up. We're going to cover their start, their rise to greatness, and of course their eventual fall from glory. The White Howlers get their start in Caledonia, the lands known today as modern Scotland. The White Howlers had lived in this region since the physical world and the spiritual world were torn asunder. In their own stories, they were there along with some of the oldest spirits when they were just considered young at the time. Caledonia means the hard place. And this was a very rugged place to live, especially in the beginning of time. The whole area was just a little bit more rugged than it is in modern day. There were deep glens, tall cliffs that protected the land from the sea, and they had some taller, craggly mountains. This was a time before the Great Winter, before all of the big wars had happened, even before the White Howlers knew the Fianna. And even this early on, the White Howlers were fighting the Worm. The Worm coveted the White Howlers' lands. And because the environment was so harsh, eventually the Worm did succeed in getting a foothold, but we'll talk about that in a bit. The White Howlers were excellent hunters. They pursued the Worm with everything that they had. The Worm was strong, cunning, and relentless, but guess what? So were the White Howlers. Some notable figures within the White Howler tribe, their stories live on even today. Silverpaws. Their heart was known to be so pure that Gaia gifted them a pelt of pure silver. Eob the Ever-Living. They were so dedicated to Caledonia that they fought for it, they died for it, and were resurrected many times for it. They were so dedicated, Gaia kept bringing them back. Bran Bloodhand. This guy lost a hand to the minions of the Worm. He was fighting them all by himself, and he still won, even though they bit off his good hand. Cairbre and Brood were twin White Howlers, and they were so similar that even Luna couldn't tell them apart. They were strong, they were wise, and their wisdom laid down the foundations for what the tribe would eventually become. The White Howlers battled the Worm's intrusions, and the Worm fought very hard to get a foothold in this land. It's a difficult place to do battle because the hills are so tall, the forests were so deep, there were tunnels that were formed within the land itself that the sunlight couldn't hit. And while the White Howlers were good at rooting out the Worm's corruption, they were not perfect at it. It's one of those situations where the White Howlers needed to win 100% of the battles, but the Worm only needed to win one. The White Howlers could dedicate themselves to fighting the Worm, but this would all change with the start of the Great Winter. Winters are hard. Hunting becomes much more challenging. Farming becomes near impossible. The land gets covered in a beautiful blanket of snow that prevents any growth. And anyone who has lived through a winter knows that eventually spring will come. The White Howlers also believed this would happen, except for when it didn't. Imagine expecting winter to end for spring to come, to start seeing the snow thaw so that you can go back to your regular way of life. Now imagine this didn't happen one year. The seasons never changed, it never got warmer, and year after year after year, winter stayed. Winter stayed so long that it permanently ingrained itself into the White Howlers' psyche. Whenever they told stories, it always involved winter, and to tell a story of anything else was just child whimsy. the animals, the birds, most living things that called Caledonia their home, left. Even some of the White Howlers themselves started seeking out other places to live. They no longer wished to stay in these cold, dead lands. Some left because the food was gone and they were just seeking to fill their bellies. Others left because the glaciers were expanding. If you didn't flee, you had to adapt or you died. And those who died became food for those who stayed. The humans who were living in the area, the kinfolk for the White Howlers, they all started dying. Some of the White Howlers who were desperate to keep the human side of their tribe alive, they decided to go seek out other lands and find other humans to keep the Hamid side going. Unfortunately, this act only brought more conflict, not only with other human tribes that they encountered because they were not quite civil, the humans or the White Howlers. This also brought them into conflict with other werewolf tribes like the Fianna, who viewed these humans as their own livestock and did not take kindly to another group of werewolves trying to insert themselves, pun semi-intended. Now, why would Gaia blast the Earth with this never-ending winter? That is a tale that has many stories. One story told about this is a deal with the forces of winter having gone sideways. The spirit they did dealings with took advantage of a loophole and kept winter going for hundreds of generations. And in the end, while it did take a very long time to fix, eventually the dedication of the White Howlers, they finished the deal, they completed the bargain that was seemingly impossible to do and brought winter to an end, or at least brought it back to a seasonal happenings. Other tales say that it was a punishment from Gaia for abandoning their duties, and they were not able to return to their homelands until they proved themselves worthy again. Another powerful tale talks about how the tribe became too self-focused and the dangers that are specifically inherent when you are too self-serving. It talks about how the tribe was focused on its own kinfolk and wasn't paying attention to what was happening in the center of its lands. This left the center of Caledonia unguarded. And because it was unguarded, this is where the worm was able to get a significant foothold in their lands. Its presence grew and festered, creating a deep pit. And since the White Howlers were only focused on where their kinfolk resided, they were unable to see the growing taint of the worm. And when they eventually did find it, it was so deep-rooted that they couldn't get it out themselves. So the story goes that they begged Gaia to send a very long, almost eternal winter. So they begged Gaia to send winter to freeze out the worm's minions. And Gaia did send winter. Now, in her disappointment, she also tried to teach them a lesson and allowed winter to spill out into their lands. And she would not remove winter until such time as the tribe learned to come together and work as a team.
No room for people who can't act in a team on my team. Excuse me. Hello? What? Well, if you can't work as a team, you're all fired.
And as I mentioned, it wasn't until the Great Winter that the White Howlers had any significant interaction with other humans or even other werewolves. It just never came up. They were so focused on their own lands, and nothing brought other werewolves or other tribes into their homelands, so there was just no connection. The Great Winter changed all of that, though, and the White Howlers' first run-in with another werewolf tribe was the Children of Stag, or the Fianna. Their territory was closest, but it was still separated by difficult-to-cross land. The Fianna themselves were not surprised to find other werewolves, especially as they saw the approaching Ice Age. For the White Howlers, though, this was a great shock to find that there were other werewolf tribes, and even ones who didn't follow Lion. Think about what that must have been like for the White Howlers. You had no idea that other werewolf tribes existed, and when you find one, they don't look like you, they don't act like you. I mean, they're still big, giant wolves, but their fur color is all different. The Fianna are not like the White Howlers at all. They are not warrior-like, they are more laid back. So you can imagine how running into something that is near your complete opposite would be a little jarring and things wouldn't go very well. The stories told about the Great Winter Wars, these are lessons to be learned. They warn against mindless action over planning, approaching new situations with hostility rather than diplomacy. They also caution against glorifying your own tales of war against your cousins. While there were two different tribes, really, there is not a great difference between all of them. They're all werewolves serving Gaia. And it's important not to abandon those duties. Thank you to all of my patron supporters who have continued to support me. All of your support is greatly appreciated during this transitional time for me. My name's Nathaniel. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.